The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show. Together we welcome you to the program. It is September the 20th, Thursday afternoon. Hope the week has gone well for you. We are coming from AM 1030 KBOI, Tucson's voice. Have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kboi.com. All of our programs, of course, available for you 24/7 on your schedule. It's very easy to use. Just go to buckmastershow.com, put in the search mode the person you perhaps want to hear from a show, and the segment will come up. Real easy to use. 790-2040, 790-2040 is our live line number. If there's anything during the hour that you would like to contribute with a question, a comment, suggestion, whatever, we'd be glad to hear from you. Richard Elias is with us. Mr. Elias is the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Welcome back, Richard, to the program, and from a very successful trip down to pretty much hurricane still ravaged Puerto Rico.
It was it's a great place, and people are very resilient there, and they're strong, and they're proud to be a part of the United States, and we really need to work at helping them get that island cleaned up.
How bad was it still?
Well, you know, the power is back, water is back throughout the island. There's still a lot of hurricane damage laying around, and things need to be cleaned up. Roads need to be cleared still. And El Yunque, the rainforest there, has some serious work that needs to be done there as well. But again, still La Isla de Encantado.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're trying, obviously, to encourage getting folks like yourself to go down there and spend some money, some U.S. dollars. Some people still think Puerto Rico is, oh, that's a different country. No, it is a commonwealth of the United States, so the dollars are welcome, and they're trying to encourage people to come down and come back.
Absolutely, and, you know, things are affordable, things are nice, people mm-hmm. are friendly. We were able to get very affordable airline tickets, round trips out of Phoenix for $250. So,
wow.
You know, please consider it, and I promise you, you'll have a great time.
Well, and speaking of tourism, this is really good news, and we our shout out to Dan Gibson, our friend over at Visit Tucson. I know he worked so hard with the New York Times to try to get this article, because for travelers like myself, you always look at the New York Times. What they do a column in the Sunday travel section called 36 Hours, and it's a different city. It can be anywhere in the world. And this weekend, it's Tucson, and that kind of publicity, Richard Elias, you just can't buy that kind of publicity.
Absolutely, and what a great place to write about, and yeah. I'm so glad that the Times took note of us and what we offer people who are interested in visiting. This is a beautiful place, and we're so lucky to live here, but we're also very lucky to welcome the travelers that come here, because it's all a part of our history. Throughout time, we've been a crossroads for people traveling, and we continue to be that.
And your people came here with the Spanish government as part of the Spanish army at the Presidio.
That's correct. My first relative here was in the first group of soldiers sent to staff the Presidio.
Mm-hmm.
Cornelio Elias, he was a sergeant in the Spanish army.
Yeah, so the roots run very deep for the Elias family. What did you think of the news that the state of Arizona now is really going to take a hard look at Southwest Key, and over a dozen facilities that they have around the state, including here in Tucson?
I think it's a critical issue for us, and it's difficult because my experience with Southwest Keys and what we see happening there in terms of our health department and other functions that we have at Pima County is that they have no regard for local regulation or government regulation, period. And if you think about the story that ran today, that's exactly mm-hmm. what it's about. Not making sure that their folks have the proper credentials that the state requires them to have. It's wrong, and they need to get with the program. They have plenty of money from the federal government to make sure that they meet all the regulatory issues that surround what is, frankly, a very difficult business at best, and something that's quite controversial. So I think you want to be on the right side of the regulatory matters that you face.
And it's not like the Pima County Health Department hasn't reached out to these people at Southwest Key.
Oh, no. We've helped them numerous times with immunizations and other issues there with the youth, and we have not been compensated for that, nor are we even allowed to regulate the food that they serve those children. And that's pretty basic to how we operate here in this country.
Let's talk about the federal immigration program called Operation Stone Garden. It's a federal program intended to, quote, secure the travel corridor in states bordering Mexico and Canada and Pima County. These travel corridors are all state or interstate highways and fall under the primary law enforcement responsibility of the state's Department of Public Safety, not the sheriff's department. However, the sheriff is Sheriff Napier, who will be on the program tomorrow. He's still very upset about the 3-2 vote that you and your colleagues voted to basically do away with this grant. The sheriff was on national TV on Fox last week saying that by not approving this, Richard Elias, that you and your two fellow no votes there, Sharon Bronson and Ramon Valdez, have made this county not a safe place or a less safe place.
That's completely untrue. It's a good soundbite, perhaps, depending on your political perspective. But the truth is this. Stone Garden represents less than 1% of the sheriff's budget, which is about $165 million. I have two issues that really affected my vote. And number one, I want Pima County sheriffs doing the business of Pima County and the people who live here. When a call is made in, I want a Pima County sheriff answering that call. And when they're doing Operation Stone Garden, they are precluded from doing anything else other than federal immigration enforcement. So they do not serve the safety of this county directly when they're doing that work. That's a problem. The second issue that I think is probably the biggest issue of all is that I want people to know that when one of our officers, one of our deputies comes to their home, I want them to know that the good guys have shown up. And ICE and Border Patrol have created an aura around their agencies that has scared everybody, and scared certainly the people in District 5 and in my community. And so there's a crisis of confidence that's been created. And I want people believing that the sheriffs are the good guys and on their side when they show up. So I want to protect our sheriffs, as well as make sure that the calls that Pima County residents make are answered efficiently and correctly and in a timely manner.
And I hear the critics of you and your fellow board members who voted against this saying, how can they turn down easy money, basically?
Well, you know, that money's going directly towards overtime. So overtime doing immigration enforcement. That also adds extra costs into our budget, from detention to booking processes to pretrial costs. That is not cheap. So this is not free money. The other thing is we buy some equipment with it, about $300,000 of equipment with it. And frankly, if there's equipment that we're lacking, I would challenge Sheriff Napier to bring a request to the Board of Supervisors, and I promise you, we'll fund it. Because I tell you what, in the 15 years I've been on the board, we have always fully funded the Sheriff's Department and their request. And at the end of the year, when they overspend their budget, the Board of Supervisors pays those bills. And I've never heard a single one of us complain one single time about paying the bills.
And that budget, the sheriff's budget, is nearly, I believe, $165 million.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's a huge budget. And it should be. Safety's paramount. That's one of the main things that we have to do, and I think we should continue doing it. So to me, absolutely critical. The county is safe. It continues to be safe. Our sheriffs do a great job. I think Sheriff Napier is frustrated because ultimately, you know, he wants to be able to be there in Washington with those guys listening to the president and what he's talking about. Well, that's good, but it's not enough.
Ray, because this is on topic, I will take this call before we take our break here. Mark wants to know about Stone Garden. And go ahead, Mark. I'll let you phrase your own question. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. My question is, it seems like this money has been coming in for the last 8, 10, 12 years. I'm not sure exactly how long it is. And all of a sudden now it's being determined that it's not going to do us any good, and it did in the past, or it didn't in the past, or I'm a little confused that something that's been going on for a long time is now, for some reason, is not.
Okay. Mark basically wants to know why money was taken in the past.
That's a good question, Mark. And we've been taking Stone Garden money for about 12 years, actually, mm-hmm. both during the Bush administration and the Obama administration. But things have changed. The zero tolerance policy, taking children away from their families, has caused fear in our community. And people are scared to have law enforcement come to them and deal with them. And we want to make sure, like I said earlier, that there's not a crisis of confidence about the Pima County Sheriff's Department. We want everyone to know that when a sheriff pulls up in front of your house, that's your friend. And they're going to help you out of whatever situation you're in that is causing you problems.
Julie, let's get you in here before the break as well. Go ahead, please.
I'm really upset at Mr. Elias that he says that if the sheriff's department needs money, that he'll fund it, because they always do. Well, that's my taxpayer money, and I'm offended. You give up $1,500,000 because you don't want people to be scared of the sheriff? My gosh, that's for all of us. That's money that we don't have to give you, Mr. Elias.
Okay.
I am just horrified.
I understand.
Okay,
I understand your position, and your frustration is real. It's fine. What I would say, though, is, you know, what is the value of confidence in our law enforcement agency? I think it's worth a lot more than $1.5 million, and I'm willing to stake some of my political capital on that and what I believe to be right about how we should police our county.
All right. This portion of the program presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Why not stop right now if you're in that area? How about lunch and a great sandwich, the bread? So many choices there. And have a great sandwich and then maybe a brownie for dessert. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the great sponsors who make our program possible. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. Joining me on the roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star and Jim Ninsel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice. It is the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Supervisors Chairman Richard Elias is with me in studio. Our topic so far has been the Stone Garden grant and, of course, emotions running very high on both sides of this issue. Greg would like to join our conversation. Greg, go ahead.
I visited with Richard Elias some years back. I'll tell you what, he has an open door policy. We have something in common because my dad was a linotype operator at the paper here in town, as was your dad, Richard.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing well. The question I have is, a couple of years back, the board was able to secure $1.5 million grant from the MacArthur Foundation, because the whole goal was, let's see what we can do to save the taxpayers money by not incarcerating all these folks who might have a warrant for a red light ticket or a speeding ticket. It costs the taxpayers money. What did the board find out based upon that grant?
Well, we're still working on it. We did have a planning grant that we spent, and we have another one now that's about implementation. And we're really working hard at people who are repeat visitors to the jail. We find that there are some folks who have been there more than 100 times.
What?
Right? Yes.
100 times?
That's
to
right.
The Pima County
That's how many
jail?
Times people get arrested in some cases. And so how do you prevent that? How do you get yourself in a situation where that person starts to understand the ramifications of all these costs and what we can do to keep them out of the jail? What we can do to protect the rest of us while they are out of jail? Because most of these folks aren't violent criminals. but they do things, or failure to appear is the biggest one. And so we have to understand what that means, how to make sure they're following the rules, how to make sure we keep on track of them with our pretrial services so that they don't end up back in the jail again.
Hey, there's some big news concerning the Foothills Mall. This is a repurposing that's been approved by the Board of Supervisors this week.
Yes, absolutely. A creative, readaptive use of Tucson, of Foothills Mall, excuse me, Foothills Mall. And it was approved 5-0 by the Board of Supervisors and includes some housing, includes some retail, and also includes a hotel. And really changing the notion of what that property is going to provide in services to the surrounding community, as well as how it might serve the owners in the much better way than it has. It has never really been as successful as I think the original developers anticipated. And trying to repurpose it into an outlet mall was a valiant effort, but was not really successful in the end. So we better pay attention to this, because we are going to have malls that are in this situation all over the United States. There are going to be more here in Tucson. And I think we have to be creative about how we go about finding readaptive uses for those properties.
Yeah, because Amazon is really, and of course people are buying online, and it's really, really hurting malls across the country.
Absolutely. You know, they're the new Walmart. And I know that's probably not a nice thing to say, but I really do believe that. And I encourage people to use their local retailers and to buy things locally and pay your sales taxes, because it helps us all be successful.
So this is kind of a multi-purpose area, the Foothills Mall, right, will be?
Correct. Yeah. There's going to be some retail there.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be some housing, multifamily housing there. And then there's also going to be a hotel there. And then they're also going to be able to adapt the pads surrounding the property with companies that want to move into those kind of real estate locations and be a little creative with it, so that they can be adept enough to catch on to what's going on currently.
All right, 790-2040, we had a comment come in about Stone Garden, and I want to read that comment to Richard Elias. This comes from Mike, and Mike says, no matter what the supervisors say about rejecting the Stone Garden grant, they always come back to objections to immigration policy. As a 17-year law enforcement officer in Southern Arizona, my contact with the Border Patrol and ICE have always been in the capacity of backup and another set of eyes. And Mike says that this decision, he's not at all pleased that it was based on political ideology.
Well, you know, at the same time, Sheriff Napier was at the White House 3 weeks ago talking to the president and others about Stone Garden. And the president told those sheriffs that, and this was reported in the Daily Star, that they're on the front lines of the campaign for keeping Congress Republican, and that they needed to arrest as many undocumented people as they possibly could. So that's politicizing the whole operation as well. And things have changed, Mark, and it's very unfortunate. And as you said, we certainly honor and appreciate your years as a law enforcement officer.
Mike was his
name.
Excuse me.
It's okay. I apologize.
No, it's all right.
We honor and appreciate the work that you've done in your life, and we're proud of you. But things do change, and politics enters law enforcement, and immigration needs to be dealt with by the Congress, by the president, in a fair, compassionate way, instead of ripping families to shreds. There are more than 12,000 children at this point that are incarcerated here in the United States. I believe there's a story in today's paper that says the feds no longer know where 1,500 of those people are. They have no idea where they are. This is a problem.
All right. Richard Elias with us for a couple more minutes. We can work in another call. Ingrid would like to join in our show today in the conversation. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi. Hello, Mr. Elias. Many years ago, and I've said this before on the radio, there was a speaker at the Duval Auditorium who said, it is our intention to Hispanize the entire Western Hemisphere. Now we have the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and our radio talk show host actually asked, why do we even need that? Don't we have a Chamber of Commerce for everybody? I do believe that what's going on now is it's an agenda to get as many people, Spanish-speaking people in particular, into this country and Hispanize the entire Western Hemisphere.
Okay, Ingrid, let's hear what Richard Elias says about trying to make the entire Western Hemisphere Hispanic.
Wow, I don't even know what to start with that one. I would say that my family has been here since September of 1776, mm-hmm. And we have been loyal to this area and loyal to the people who live here and caring for the indigenous people, and we appreciate the fact that they share their lands, their ancestral homes with us. So it's kind of absurd to think that we're going to Hispanize the entire the entirety of the Western Hemisphere. I think Latinos are great contributors to society. They're great contributors to the United States, and they are the modern industrialized people of the world. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that.
Nothing to worry about, in your opinion.
I don't have any plans to take over any country.
All right.
That's not my deal.
Okay, Richard, you have 10 seconds before I have to cut you.
I agree with Mr. Elias. He's absolutely right on. You know, we have the people from Mexico, the Spanish-speaking Latinos are coming to our country, are the new blood of our nation. They're great people. They're hardworking people. They're honest people. I've worked with them. I'm a landscaper for 25 years. They've been honorable, on time, done what they said they would do, never stolen anything. These are some good people. This is bigotry and racism in our country. And these crazy callers that call in with these comments are probably listening to Alex Jones.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Richard.
On that note, we're going to wrap it up. And I do appreciate folks trying to participate and participating in the program. It is a talk show, and we welcome really everybody's opinion. Richard Elias, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. And it's always great to be on your show. And hope everybody in Southern Arizona has a great day. And it's been a nice, rainy couple days. We'll catch a little more this afternoon.
My garden looks really nice right now. The plants are
saying. Well, invite me over. Okay. I'll go look at those flowers.
We'll wrap it up. We'll be right back. All right. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things. I'll be paying them a visit. I need some plants. I'll be going by Saturday to 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And now the new addition to Green Things, Zocalo, home to all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, now part of the Green Things family and occupying space on their beautiful 13 acres. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com. In our continuing discussion of the upcoming general election, trying to introduce our listeners to as many of the major candidates as possible. Today it is January Contreras. She's running for Attorney General in Arizona. She worked as a county prosecutor and a state prosecutor before founding Arizona Legal Women and Youth Services, acronym ALWYS, to fight for Arizona's vulnerable children and youth. At the Department of Homeland Security, January led the charge to establish the Council on Combating Violence Against Women. She prosecuted crimes as an assistant attorney general for the Office of the Attorney General. That's the department which she is now running to lead. January Contreras joining us on the live line. January, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing real well. How is the campaign going for you?
It's excellent. How could it be otherwise when I have the chance to travel around Arizona, meet people, see parts of the state I haven't seen since I was a kid in my grandpa's suburban. and we're this race is neck and neck. We're only down 2 points. That means that we are positioned right where we want to be. 2 points is nothing. We will overcome that. And, you know, my goal is it's not so close that it takes us 3 days to know that we won.
That's waiting for, a long wait. On the, sometimes that can go up to a week, I guess.
Exactly.
Let's talk about this news that happened yesterday or the day before, I believe, concerning a late change in the ballot language for Proposition 127 by the Attorney General Mark Brnovich, a key aide to Mr. Brnovich, adding a phrase that's been heavily used in opposition advertising. What's this all about?
What it looks like from the outside is that, you know, APS is a big company. They put in over $400,000 in 2014 to elect Brnovich. They put in at least $50,000 this year already. It looks a lot like, they're in very much in opposition to this ballot initiative. And so to see the Attorney General's office be used in that very, very political way, where you even have the official from the Secretary of State's office writing back to him and saying, whoa, this change really raises some eyebrows. And the AG's office deciding to go forward with that. You know, for me, it looks like very much the same pattern that we've seen, which is a lot of money is going into electing Brnovich, and we see him using our state resources, right? This is our Attorney General's office for the people of Arizona, once again being used for political purposes, and it just so happens that it benefits his donors rather than the people of Arizona. And we've seen that where he's defended ExxonMobil he's defending the secrecy of dark money donors through the Koch Brothers Network in California, and the big one, you know, trying to take away people's health care protections for people with pre-existing conditions. And each time, if you just follow that money, it certainly raises eyebrows.
And this ballot measure would amend the Arizona Constitution to say that private utility companies must produce at least 50% of their electricity by 2030 from renewable sources. And the change in language now was to put, if approved by voters, would come, quote, irrespective of cost to consumers. Do you find that that phrase, is it, well, it seems very kind of subjective, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the truth is you could insert that clause into almost any single ballot initiative that's ever been presented to the people of Arizona, you know, no matter what that is. And so it's unusual because that's not the practice to slip that into every single ballot initiative. And this time, you know, they're trying to raise a red flag there that, you know, didn't necessarily have to be there.
Let's talk about some of the other issues in this campaign. How would January Contreras run the AG's office here in Arizona if elected?
Well, I mean, we'd have to start with bringing back the tradition of the Attorney Generals of Arizona. You know, if you look back at a Corbin, a Grant Woods, and a Napolitano, who was my boss for 12 years, Jerry Goddard, these are people who ran the Attorney General's office with a lot of discipline and a lot of integrity. And, you know, we've seen a detour from that where it's become hyper-partisan, become, you know, gotten in bed with donors. And that's the kind of stuff that we need to put a stop to. For me, on day one, I will be removing Arizona from the litigation that is designed to take away guarantees for people with pre-existing health conditions. We will not be on the wrong side of that issue. You know, we'll get out of this litigation where we're defending dark money donors. That is not where we need to be. And so it's getting us out of some of the partisan fights that Brnovich has got us into, and then we need to refocus back on the people of Arizona. I mean, the AG, it's an important position. I know I work there. You know, we need to be focusing on our most vulnerable communities, whether that's our kids in the foster care system, whether that's folks in who are being abused in nursing homes, people getting scammed. You know, that's the job of the AG, and we really need to bring back the focus to how is it that we serve the people of Arizona, not these corporate or special interests that are from out of town?
These abuses of elder people, it's just really terrible. And your office would take a real hard look at that.
Yeah. And there's good work going on. You know, you have career attorneys there who are there because they really care about the work. You know, when I was an assistant attorney general prosecuting crime, health care fraud, and also crimes in nursing homes, Napolitano was on that in a very vigilant way. And so it was constantly reporting back to her, how many referrals did we get? How many cases do we bring forward? How many convictions? We spent a lot of time with staff. We spent a lot of time with family, training them so that they knew if they brought concerns forward, something would be done about it. And I want to be bring back that vigilance of the Napolitano era where, you know, no stone unturned and where there's a culture that people know they won't get away with this stuff in Arizona.
How about Southwest Key? Would they no longer be welcome, their facilities in the state of Arizona?
I was really glad today to see that the Arizona Department of Health Services decided to revoke their ability to do business here in Arizona. At least that's the way I read it. You know, what's happened, there are many things that we can't control, right? The Trump administration deciding to separate parents and kids. The courts have stepped in. Your Democratic attorneys general around the country stepped in. And so there are orders in place. But this piece of this puzzle where right here in our own state, kids are being abused in facilities that we have the legal, the moral obligation to be inspecting, you know, we need to use that power. And so I was very glad to see today that the Department of Health Services said, you know, they're not complying with the safeguards or telling us about the safeguards that they have in place. And, yeah, we need to. Now, I've seen this in the foster care system as well. You've got the vast majority of people who are working with young kids because they want to help them, because they care about them. But it also is a sad truth that predators do find their way to places where there are a lot of kids, and especially kids who don't have their parents around. And so we have to be vigilant. I put out a plan around child safety and crimes against kids, because group homes in the foster care system, you know, foster care homes, these integration group homes, anywhere where there are kids without their parents, we need to be working to, again, build a culture of no tolerance, so that everyone is doing their best to keep, you know, those few predators that are around out of the, you know, keep these kids out of harm's way when it comes to them.
All right, January Contreras, running for Arizona Attorney General as a Democrat, facing off against the incumbent Mark Brnovich. So where can people find out more about you, January?
So the website is a good place. We're at www.january4az.com. You know, I would encourage people to look at the Facebook page as well. We will be in Tucson this Sunday, and we have an event coming up there. We'd love to meet as many people as possible and answer questions people have and hear their ideas as well. Because, you know, the AG's office is a place for the people of Arizona, and it will be strongest when everyone is a part of making it strong.
Okay. People can find out more about the event on the Facebook page, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
January, a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Same here. Thank you.
All right. January Contreras, Democrat running for Arizona Attorney General. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. It is the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Tomorrow we will be having Sheriff Napier here on the program for our Friday Focus interview, and of course we'll be talking about Operation Stone Garden. This portion of the program presented by a very historic area of the southwestern United States. It's Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you've not been over there, it's a real treat, and especially if you're into history. There's a lot of history in the Silver City area, and it's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many great places to stay in the area, and there's so many ideas for how you can recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Historian Ken Scoville is with us, and when I have visited Silver City, Ken, I'm always impressed with all the Victorian architecture that they have over there. It's just amazing.
I hate to confess, I've never been to Silver City.
Well, you sound like you would be a perfect candidate to go over there with your love of history and, of course, all the walking tours that you've done of downtown Tucson. I think you'd really enjoy that as a weekend.
Well, the Victorian is a good way, maybe as a leap to start about modernism.
That's what we're going to be talking about,
right?
This modernism week, and a lot of people are going, what the heck's modernism?
Right, and when you talk about Victorian architecture in that era, that was all about embellishments and detail and all this, and modernism essentially rejected all that.
Huh, more clean lines?
Well, lack of ornamentation and all this. Let me give you, for everybody, a good definition.
Okay.
Especially the baby boomers out there.
Yeah.
Mid-century modern is the design movement in interior, product, graphic design, architecture, and urban development from roughly 1945 to 1975.
Huh.
So that's part of the reason Modernism Week is not just about architecture. As we talk about the events, there's furniture, other kinds of products, signage, graphics, what was going on from an artistic and design standpoint, among also architecture.
How did all this begin, this Modernist Week here in Tucson?
Well, Damian Klinko, who's the president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, he's a big fan of modernism. And I think from all the success that's been in Palm Springs, California, and I have not gone to that, but it is a major event in Palm Springs that people fly in all around the country and even from other countries. So he started doing this Modernism Week in Tucson because, believe it or not, the big boom after World War II was at the time that we really started adopting modernism architecture, both residentially and Broadway, with all the fights and arguments about the widening of Broadway. Broadway, the Sunshine Mile, was really an example of the boom of commercial modernism buildings for commercial purposes.
Was modernism then, you said, right after World War II, was this some kind of a response to what all the tragedy of the world being at war for 6 years? And how do you think modernism kind of came about?
Well, I think it's probably also a celebration of freedom, the end of the war, and you could also include the GI Bill and the booming of the country and all that. But we were trying to think of the future and the idea of different styles, doing away with the old ways. And if you look at history and how it reflects with the architecture and all these things, we're always going through cycles, whether we reject something or adopt something back. Just as a quick little sidebar on this, My mother grew up in Chicago, and she lived in an apartment building in Chicago and had wooden floors.
Right.
She hated wooden floors.
Huh.
As soon as she got married and had a home in the suburbs and everything, she wanted wall-to-wall carpeting.
Yeah.
And now we've flipped. Everybody wants wooden floors,
yes,
and everybody's shunning carpet.
Yeah.
So that's a good example of how we switch styles. One other great example is, if those of you that are familiar with Congress Street and the Wigorama store,
uh-huh,
which is on Scott and Congress,
uh-huh,
it had all this blank facade on it. Now they've taken the facade off, and you see all this fabulous brickwork. Well, the 1960s and the modernism movement rejected all that, so you covered it all up.
Huh.
So this is these constant cycles of what's in and what's out.
So are you saying then the 60s came along, and then there was kind of this renewal, urban renewal, if you will, and sort of said no to the modernist movement then?
Well, later on, but no, oh, the whole from 1945 to about 1975.
Okay, 75.
Right,
okay.
And then, but urban renewal was in the... In
so
the
what came 60s. After then? What was the next trend?
Well, now we're supposedly calling it postmodern, but we've also, this is where, human endeavor is a little messy. Now we're also getting back to all kinds of revival styles again, where we want it to look like a mission. We wanted to look at sort of Victorian elements. So now it's become almost a gumbo again. But we may get some great new innovative design in the future, maybe with artificial intelligence. We'll get something.
So what should we do about directing our listeners about this Modernism Week? I mean, is there one venue for this, or what can you tell us about that?
Well, like I said, when I defined all the different avenues that modernism has expressed, the week of events from October 5th through the 14th reflect all those different ways of expression of the modernism movement. He's got exhibits on furniture and other kinds of industrial design. There's also the vintage trailer show that's been going on for several years. We're also going to do a tour of mid-century Chinese markets. And so we're going to be looking at architecture. One of the featured, and let me do this down here, one of the features with the lectures is Alexander Girard, presented by Milwaukee Art Museum, and then all this modernist storefronts by Chicago historian Arthur Rubano. And then another one that I want to go, In the Arms of Swirls, by historian and retired Smithsonian curator William Byrd. So there's going to be all kinds of presentations and talks. There's another one on fabrics. And then part of the whole thing of this mid-century modern movement, it really reflected how we would live in the suburbs. And there's a presentation on mid-century modern subdivisions by an architect, a famous architect.
Wow. So where should we go to get information?
Okay.
Is there a place
you
has
go,
all the listing for the lectures?
You want to go to Modernism Week, and that's actually, you want to go to the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, and then they've got a special thing, or you can go straight to just put Tucson Modernism.
Yeah, I bet if you just Google Tucson
Modernism, boom, it'll go
week,
up.
It's going to come
and
up.
And it's a whole menu. Like I said, it's a week, so you can schedule around different things that you're looking for. The home tour, which is always great, and I will be a site host again this year. There'll be a jazzy cocktail party in the evening at one of these mid-century modern homes.
Hmm.
So if you're encouraged, if you want to get out your skinny ties, which seem to be coming back again, you get your skinny ties back and the narrow lapels.
Mm-hmm.
So it really reflects a whole era that was a significant change, probably the most defined design change of the 20th century.
Now, you mentioned Wigorama as a kind of an example of a modernist building downtown. Could you give us some more examples of...
Well, not the Wigorama is really a 1920s brick ornamentation.
Okay.
But then in the 1960s, when the modernism movement scorned everything Victorian, scorned everything that was ornamental, you would cover it back up.
Okay.
The real visual, just that you can just drive down the street, would be on Broadway, the Sunshine Mile, from Tucson to Country Club. And you can see in like this style of architecture, and I'll just reference some, asymmetrical composition, you can see these patterns, cubic and cylindrical shapes, flat roofs, reinforced concrete, no moldings or real details, looking for white and cream. So if you just drive down the Miracle Mile, you will see that in display.
The bank at Country Club and Broadway is kind of an iconic example of modernism.
And it's almost like a sculpture.
Hmm.
If you look at that facade, it's very much of a sculpture effect to it.
Do you like the modernist look?
Well,
personally?
being
there's some of it you like probably.
I'm trying.
Like I love that bank building.
Yes, you know. Well, it's a landmark, but yeah. People don't realize some of the more strip malls along Broadway of that era were actually built as individual buildings.
Yeah.
And all that cubic, very simple, angular lines was really an expression of that movement. Mm-hmm. And the Sunshine Mile was going out into the suburbs, out to the freedom, abandoning the downtown, not only in Tucson, but around the country. So it's really a celebration of a movement that sort of morphed and changed and adopted later on as we speak today. But if you're curious about anything with fabric, design, details, fashion, buildings, all kinds of interesting things, you will find it on Modernism Week.
All right, and I do want to do a quick shout-out. Speaking of the modernist furniture, one of our fine sponsors, Penny over at Adobe House Antiques on Campbell, has a great room that is devoted just to modernist furniture. And that is Penny's biggest seller right now.
Well, if you
millenniums love that modernist furniture,
right? And they like that kind of yes. ranch style modernist, yeah. clean yeah. sliding glass doors. So what do you got to do? You got to put it into the rest of your house along with the turquoise refrigerator. Yeah,
exactly. All right, Kent Scoville. Hopefully, we'll see you again next month. Thank you very much. Talking about Tucson Modernism Week. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow morning we do Wake Up Tucson, their Friday edition, 6 to 9. Buckmaster at 12:04 with Sheriff Mark Napier, and of course we'll dig more into this controversial Operation Stone Garden, trying to get both sides here, airing it out on the radio. On behalf of our friend Ken Scoville, Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.